All right. The book, The Purpose-Driven Life, as I've said, each of the 2 weeks and now the third week, is a really fine book. If you've never had the chance to read that book, I'd suggest you order it on Amazon and read it. They're short chapters, 40 short chapters. You could read one chapter a day for 40 days. And I just find it a really good book theologically. It helps you to think along scriptural terms and to ask good questions and to understand some of the fundamentals about Christianity. Our study has been focused on kind of a summation of the book. And it's this little booklet, What on Earth Am I Here For? And I hope all of you have had a chance to get this little booklet. If not, we have plenty. We have several left over. If you want to get some, to give to a friend or a neighbor. Melanie, you know where they are? In a box up here, if you'd like to get one or two or three over there, that's some extra ones to give to someone. It's a good way to witness to someone, to say, I've been doing a Bible study at church that's been focusing on what on earth am I here for? Just wanted to share it with you. And it's an easy read, and I'd encourage you to do that. Four main things from the previous Sundays that we have highlighted, four sentences. So it's your test. Let's see if we can come up with some of those four sentences. What's one? Or the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's a good statement. Let me tell you the first one. It all starts with God. Okay, remember that? It all starts with God. The second one, you are not an accident. The third one, it was focusing on what drives your life. And the fourth one, this life is not all there is. So those are the four statements so far that we've been focusing on. It all starts with God. You're not an accident. What drives your life? Something drives your life. And this life is not all there is. So tonight we're focusing on chapters 5 and 6. Allison, do all your guys have a booklet there? If not, they need a booklet, because they will be. Okay, very good. And we're doing chapters 5 and 6 tonight. The chapters are not numbered, so you have to look to the 5th and the 6th chapter and kind of number them yourself. Chapter 5's title is Seeing Life from God's View. The first two sentences are really good. The way you see life shapes your life. How you define life determines your destiny. Now, that's quite a statement to focus on. How you define your life determines your destiny. If you think that you're a loser, if you think that you have no potential, if you think that you're a nobody, what's going to happen to you? Where's your life going? Basically nowhere, because you have defined your life in a way that's not healthy. How you define your life determines who you are. Now, there are two questions that I want us to think about at the table, at your tables that are on the handout. This is an important part of our time together each week to give us a chance to talk and to think and to ask questions. You need to have someone who's going to be your reporter to answer back these two questions. Question number one is, what are some common metaphors that we often hear? And I'll give you an example to give us something to think about. A metaphor is like, you only go around once in life, so give it all you got. That's a common metaphor that we hear. What are some common metaphors that you have heard all of your life about life? The second one is, what has been your life metaphor up until this day? Something that's really kind of got you going. Your life metaphor. Everyone understand the two questions? All right, y'all are fired up and enthused about it, I can tell. So I'm going to let you get right at it. Some common life metaphors and what's been your life metaphor. Question number one, what are some common metaphors of life that you've heard all your life? Who's our reporter at the Alpha table? Mr. Miller, what's a metaphor that y'all have heard growing up?
come alive and do things right, and don't cross the God, the Lord. Now you want the second one too, automatic?
No, just the first one. That's a good one. If you couldn't hear Mr. Miller, son, you better behave. It's a good one. A common metaphor that y'all have heard growing up. Who's our reporter at the bad table? Okay?
Always have positive thoughts.
Always have positive thoughts. All right? A reporter from the cowboy table.
One of them is from Ferris Bueller. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around every now and then, you just might miss it.
That's good. That's good. All right, from the dog table.
Austin. Andrew was like, no.
Here you go.
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Okay, that's a good one. From the enthusiastic table.
You want one or you want all of them?
If you have more than one metaphor.
Yeah. Okay, so our number one metaphor was life is like a box of chocolates. So life is a journey, life's a challenge, life's a race, a marathon, sometimes life's a grind or an adventure, sometimes life's like a war with many battles that must be fought, life's like a roller coaster with many twists and turns. That's it for now.
Man, y'all knocked it out the park. Telling you. All right, from the Green Bay table.
You reap what you sow.
What's that?
You reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow. Excellent. From the Harry Potter table.
Hermione. We had a couple. One is the only sure things in life are death and taxes. Life is what happens while you're busy planning it, and you can't take it with you.
They're all good. You notice I'm going alphabetically. Have y'all picked up on that? Yeah, there's from the friendship table.
Life is a bed of roses. Look out for the thorns.
Ooh, that's a good one. From the intelligent table.
Live life to the fullest. Early bird gets the worm, and you can't always get what you want.
Ooh, that's a good one. And speaking of you can't always get what you want, the Jumpin' Jack Flash table.
Life is what you make it.
Good one. Good one. Did y'all do one? Okay. That was so memorable, though. Yeah. Okay. We come to the second question, and what is, and this is deep, what is your metaphor for life? When you wake up in the morning and you're trying to give yourself a good talking to, what do you say that, like, my life is, it's your metaphor for life, okay? Does every table have an answer? Yes? Okay, we're gonna start with y'all over here, okay, with the aggravating table.
I can do this.
Awesome. Wouldn't that be a great metaphor to start each day with? I can do this. With the bad table. Bad like good, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I'm so sure.
Yeah, kids say, that's, you're bad.
Hey, we're intelligent enough to know that's not
good. That's what I meant. Y'all are good. Acronym.
You only live once, so do what you love. And my favorite, just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. You only live once. Do what you love. The catastrophic table.
I don't know if this is a metaphor, but this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen. That's a great one. If I had a prize, I'd give you that. Y'all were a D? Y'all were D? C? The doggone table.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. If only we could live that way. The effervescent table.
Life is a journey, and we don't know where God is leading us.
Good one. The fantastic table.
It's better to love and lost than to not have loved.
Amen. With all due respect, the goofy table. What? We went through three. I'm just looking for G's.
Okay, so we have more than one. You can imagine that. So a beautiful garden that must be weeded from time to time. A collection of new beginnings. And a journey with many detours.
Excellent. The hilarious table.
We said carpe diem, or seize the day.
The Lord agrees. Wow, that was impressive. Yeah. The introspective table.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mr. Joe has one. We have two.
If you're faced with an obstacle of life that you can't do, take the T off. Because can.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. If you're facing with something that you can't do, take the T off. Become something you can do. It's really good. I'll do this next week. A lot of times, Mr. Miller, I hand out as prizes some little pictures of myself and from when I was in high school or college, and I'd have given you a picture today. Yeah, scare the roaches away. Did y'all do it? Yeah, I had a toupee back then. What's our next letter? Jay, y'all are the joking table.
This is the first day of the rest of your life.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, first day of the rest of your life. Rick Warren is big on saying that life on earth is a test. Life on earth is a test. We're here for a reason, and he emphasizes life on earth is a test. What I want you to do is think about people in Scripture who were tested. And maybe some things that come from that testing. All right, so talk about it just for a minute at your table, and then what I'll ask you to do, I won't go around, but just I'll have you raise your hand and tell us one or two people from Scripture who were tested. Go around the horn until we've exhausted the names that we've come up with. I'm going to point to your table and just tell us one name. Okay, the youth table, one name. Moses certainly faced testing. You know who he faced the main testing from? The grumbling people who he was trying to lead. They grumbled all the time. He brought them out of slavery. Wasn't good enough. They grumbled all the time, in addition to facing testing from Pharaoh. His life was full of testing. So Moses is a good one. Who's another one? This table. Daniel faced testing in the lion's den and living in a foreign land. Way in the back, and Reynolds, y'all face traffic coming over, huh? Mm-hmm. That's what we heard. Adam and Eve faced testing. They were tempted. And so interesting how Adam blamed it on Eve. And then Eve blamed it on the serpent. It was no one's fault. They all blamed it on each other. Testing. Okay? Somebody here. Jesus faced the testing. Okay? Here. Peter, he denied Jesus three times. He was tempted to quit, to give it all up. He faced testing, okay? Abraham, he had to leave everything behind and go to a new land where he didn't know anybody or anything, all new. Not to mention that, where in that bizarre story where God called for him to sacrifice Isaac. I've only preached on that one time in my entire ministry because it's such a difficult passage that people take in a way that is just not good. I've had people tell me things about that story that are disturbing, what it does to them. Okay, here? Okay, Joseph. And Carol, you had one? I'll say both of them. Job faced testing. Where's y'all's umbrellas? With you or in the car? That's where mine is, in the car. I'm going to come to y'all. Okay, so we had two from this table. Job faced testing like we've never seen before. It's just unbelievable what that poor guy went through. And then Joseph in the Old Testament was mistreated by his brothers, sold into slavery, was falsely accused of something he didn't do. He faced testing all of his life. Did y'all give one yet? Job, okay? Did y'all gave one? Okay? Okay, give us just one. Joseph in the New Testament, right. His wife suddenly is pregnant, and he had all kind of challenges. Do I go ahead and marry her? Do I take care of her? Do I file for a divorce? He faced challenges. And here? Lot's wife, yes. She was told, do not turn around. And it's like she couldn't help herself. She was tested. Okay, any other big obvious name you want to say? Mary, the mother of Jesus, had an amazing test, being told that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. And here she is, some young teenage girl in Nazareth, and just amazing the test that she had to face. Judas. We can't begin to imagine the emotions going on in the mind of Judas, what he was thinking. Somebody else who faced testing that you just... Who? Who? Who?
Samson.
Samson, all right. Sound like y'all were saying Satan, and I just... Yeah. I just wasn't going to show a lot of sympathy for Satan. But Samson faced definitely some tests. Lamar?
I like what Carol said a while ago, but she got quiet. Jesus, but he's the only one who didn't crumble.
Okay, that's a good point Lamar made. Of all the people in Scripture who faced temptation, who faced testing, he's the only one who didn't crumble. And I've heard people say, well, yeah, he was Jesus, but he could have crumbled. He could have given in to sin because he was 100% human as well as 100% God. He could have given in and fallen, but he didn't. And then I saw another hand here. There we go, Becky. Naomi. There she was in a foreign land at a loss as to what to do, and she chose to follow her family. A beautiful story. If you've never read the book of Ruth, it's a touching, touching story. Anybody else that clamors to be called out? Jackie?
Would you say that the angel that followed Lucifer?
That's a real mysterious story, that the angels who followed Lucifer were kicked out of heaven. St. Paul definitely faced... He was in prison. He ultimately was beheaded for his faith. And then somebody said something here. King David, all of his life, faced testing and quite often failed, but he faced it. Now, the question, and it's a good theological question, what's the difference between being tested and being tempted? Now, Scripture says pretty clearly that God will test us, but I don't believe that God will tempt us. Who tempted Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days? The devil tempted him. I just don't believe, and argue with me if you like, I just don't believe that God tempts us to do something wrong. That was an affirmation. That was an exclamation point. Yeah. Because that would mean that the end result is God is almost wanting us to do something wrong. I don't think so. But I do think God will test us. So the difference is, what's the difference between God testing you and God tempting you. All right, so for just a minute, you talk about it at your table. There is a difference. What's the difference between God testing you and God tempting you? Solve that? All right, I want us to hear a passage of scripture from the Apostle James. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus, and he wrote the little letter of the book of James in the New Testament. Here's something that James wrote.
James 1.
It should be on.
James 1. James 1, 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me.
When tempted, no one should say it is God tempting me, because God will not tempt you to do something evil. The difference, I think, and I hope that you've had a chance to talk about this at your table, is if you are tempted, it's to do something wrong, something sinful. And God is not going to tempt you to do something sinful. The evil one will tempt you to do something sinful. God will test you, but the test is to make you stronger, not to fall into sin. An example for me as a pastor, God might give me a test back when I was a young guy in the ministry of saying, I'm going to send you to this difficult church, and it's going to be a real challenge, and the people are not going to like each other. They're going to barely tolerate. This didn't happen, but just a suppose. The people are not going to like each other. They're going to barely tolerate you, and it's going to be a real test. That's the kind of test that I'm thinking of. The benefit... Maybe it's yet to come. That's right. Yeah. Please, no. Yeah. So, two quick questions about being tested, not tempted. What's a good thing about God testing us? And what's a bad thing about God testing us? Okay, Daphne?
I think it's an opportunity to prove my faith.
Okay, that's a good thing. When God tests us, it's an opportunity to prove our faith to ourselves and to others. Something else good. Allison?
I think when God gives us a test, it is a piece of that we can lean more into God's will in our life. Mm-hmm.
As we go through that test and we grow stronger, we lean into God and we grow. Something else good about God testing us.
Sometimes when God tests us, it also helps us to change others. A test of maybe something that comes to mind of the school year, difficult students, but by the end of the year, you make a difference in this child's life.
That's good. It ends up helping people. I think along the lines of illness. I don't think necessarily that God is the one who sends a bad illness upon you. But I do think that through an illness, God can test us and help us to be stronger as we go through that illness and as we face it and as we witness, like you were saying, to other people about our faith. In this illness. I'm not afraid of it. What's going to be is going to be. I trust that that's a witness to people. So through that testing, we become stronger. What's a downside of being tested? Yes, Camille said, if you don't pass the test. Yes, that's a big downside of being tested, is that we don't make it, that we fail. But Scripture's pretty clear that God is going to test us. Now, here's something that Scripture does promise that people misquote and take out of context a lot. In the book of either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, Paul said, God will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can take. So the people always say, I can make it through because God has put this on me. And I think to some degree that's true. If you're going through a hard time, know God's going to give you the strength in order to make it through. OK, Okay, so those are the two things in regard to testing. What's good about it and what's a downside of it. Here's a scripture passage that's on your gold sheet of paper from James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That when we withstand those trials and we get stronger because of it, God does wonderful things in us. Okay, so that's the first thing, is that testing is a part of life. The second thing, Rick Warren says life is a trust. Life on earth is, it's a trust. I want a quote from Rick Warren on page 38 of the booklet. And this is really profound, and we so often forget about this. Rick Warren said, we never really own anything during our brief stay on earth. God just loans it to us while we're here. It's God's property before you arrived, and God will loan it to someone after you die. You just get to enjoy it for a little while. Marie? Yeah, that's ultimately true, and it's kind of sad to think about the things that we spend a lifetime accumulating and collecting, and we just think are really something. It's going to all be in a garage sale. If not in the immediate generation, in the next generation. I have all this amazing Dallas Cowboy stuff. They're going to go through my house so fast and all on the street. I want to show you, what's that? Hey, I'm going to start a folder on you, Daphne. I haven't started your file yet, but I can do it. I'm going to show you a video that I asked Nathan to do. You know Neil Young? Neil Young was in our series of sermons a couple of weeks ago. He did Heart of Gold. It's the only song he's had so far in our series. He sang at Woodstock. This is a song that he wrote about a guitar that he bought from Hank Williams. So it really meant a lot to Neil Young, this Hank Williams guitar. And this is a song that he wrote and sang about it. I think you'll like it.
Anyway, here's a tune for you.
This old guitar reminds me I'm taking care of it now. Been around for years and years, just waiting in its old case. It's been up and down the country roads. It brought a tear and a smile. It's had its share of dreams and hope. Never went out of style. The more I play it, the better it sounds. It cries when I leave it alone. Silently, it waits for me. This old guitar, this old guitar, guitar has caught some breaks, but it never searched for gold. It can't be blamed for my mistakes. It only does what it's told. It's been a messenger in times of trouble, times of hope and fear. When I get drunk and seeing double, it jumps behind the wheel and steers. This old guitar ain't mine to keep. It's mine to play for a while.
The man. Who's singing with him? Emmylou Harris. Little known fact, I dated Emmylou Harris in high school, and I broke up with her. I don't know what I was thinking. Y'all know that's not true, huh? Yeah. I mean, she could be my grandmother. Okay, Emmylou Harris, Neil Young, they sing "This Old Guitar Ain't Mine to Keep." It's just mine for a while. Powerful statement. If you were living life over again, knowing that everything that you have is just yours to keep for a little while, it's on loan from God, how would that change your attitude towards things? All right, chat about that at your table for just a minute. Okay, everybody had a chance to talk about that for a little bit at your table. I think it's a profound question, and while everyone may not have had a chance to talk about it, I hope that in your mind you've thought about it. Knowing that everything that we have is on loan from God, how should that change our attitude about things? This old guitar ain't mine to keep. It's just mine for a while. And what we have, it's not ours to keep. We're going to pass it on to somebody else. And that really should change our attitude about possessions. So we've had two statements so far. Life is a test. Life is a trust. And then Rick Warren emphasizes a third thing that we know is true, but we don't like to think about it, but we sure should. And that is, life is a temporary assignment. Life is a temporary assignment. Couple of scripture passages I think that you have on your overhead. Psalm 39, verse 4, David said, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is." In the scripture, when it talks about humans, it describes us as aliens, as pilgrims, as foreigners, as strangers, as visitors, that we're just passing through. We're just here for a little while. Our life is a temporary assignment. Two more scripture passages. Psalm 119, verse 19 on your handout. "I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me." And then Philippians 3:20. Paul said, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're just here for a little while. We're going to spend vast, unimaginable amounts of time in heaven. But our life on this side is 40 years, 60 years, 90 years, just a tiny bit of the time that we're going to spend on the other side. But so often I'm guilty of just putting all my focus on the here and now instead of giving thought to the life to come. And that's just not clear thinking when we do that. A quote from Rick Warren's little booklet on page 47, he says, "Your time on earth is not the complete story of your life. You must wait until heaven for the rest of the chapters. When people go through a difficult time in life, and as a pastor, I talk to so many people who have just gotten the short end of life. They've gone through tragedy and heartbreak, and they're so sad and just depressed. And what I end up saying to them, and I believe with all my heart, God has all of eternity to make things right. All we can see is the right now, that I've lost my wife, I've lost my husband, I've lost my child or grandchild, I've gone bankrupt, I have terminal cancer, everything is going against me. We need to be reassured that that's the way it is right now, and it's so temporary, but God has all of eternity to make things right. You know that many people that you come across just feel like their life has been cheated and life is unfair to them. And it is unfair, but I say there's more to come. This life is not there is. And on the other side, God is gonna make things right in a way that we can't even begin to imagine. God has all of eternity to make things right. So it's so important to think about that. We wanna live in the here and now. We wanna live right and do right now, but we have to never forget there is an eternity on the other side of the grave. And this life is getting ready for that life. All right, time for a quick comment or two. Any quick comment or question or suggestion? Mr. Joe? Joe said, yeah. 94. Joe said, without the thought of eternal life, he doesn't think he would have lived to be 94. Yes. I'm telling you, the belief of eternal life is so important to who I am as a Christian. It just means everything. Those in my family and my church family, my friends who have died and gone before, who I miss with all my heart, I just know I'm going to see them again on the other side. And that gives me hope and peace to know that there's life beyond the grave and that someday there's going to be a happy, joyous reunion on the other side. I don't think that's just a pipe dream. You read the scripture and it's all through the scripture. It points to eternity. Joe?
I recently had an operation of strip on my skull. And the doctor took me in the office to explain to me that there was a chance something could go wrong and I couldn't make it through it. So I thought, that's a win-win situation. I either go to heaven and be with my wife or get well.
That's it. I don't know if you could hear what Joe said. He had a surgery a few months ago where the doctor explained to him you may not make it through the operation. And Joe said, that's a win-win situation. If I don't make it, I go to heaven and be with my wife, and not just with your wife, of course, with Jesus and all the saints who have gone before us, or you continue to live here. When I had my surgery back in April, that was pretty similar to my thoughts. But before I went in, I prayed. I said, Lord, you've given me a good life. I think I'm going to be fine. I'm going to make it. Everything's going to be good. But if not, I'm okay. Either way is fine. I'm in your hands. And then they put you to sleep. You're in La La Land, and you wake up, and it's all over. All but the pain, yeah. All but the miserable recovery. All right, y'all have done great. Next week is the last chapter. So that would be chapter 8 in the book. So if you have a chance to read through it, and then we'll talk about it next week. If someone has not joined us yet, invite them to come and join us. Each session is not dependent on the previous one. We'd love to have them next week. You said Nancy Clement's doing the food next week, so that's going to be really good. Let's join together in our closing prayer found on your handout. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, help us to grow in our faith and to rise up to the challenges of life this week. Remind us that this life is not all there is. Amen. Okay, thank you all.